what I was going to teach and preach on, but thought this would be something that the Lord, I've been thinking about it for a little while here, and I think it's something that the Lord wants us to deal with. And just understand what that really is, because I think we don't really understand what does it mean to covet? You know, what does it mean? And it's broader than what people realize, actually. It's actually a lot broader of a topic and covers a lot more, and God hates it. But it's bigger than just, oh, see that car over there? I want it. Sometimes that's what we think. No, that's kind of a generalized statement of what coveting is. But it isn't really the entirety of it. It isn't really... Amen. All right. We're going to be all over the Bible, a lot of Bible verses, but you can start in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 17 here. That's the book of the law here as far as that goes, that God was laying his order down and his law down. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his thing that is thy neighbor's. So God is laying that down. God is saying that was his command to his people, that they should not covet. Now, Webster's dictionary definition is pretty good. You know what I like about Webster, and it's not the Bible, obviously, not the King James Bible. Scripture defines Scripture, and we'll use Scripture, lots of it tonight, to define this. But the one thing I like about it, he always uses Bible verses for his references as far as what these words mean. I think that's very commendable in a day and age today that we live in where that's not, nobody cares. Anyway, so to desire inordinately, to desire that which is unlawful to obtain or possess in a bad sense. So it's to desire something that we should not desire. There's also a good way that covet is used a few times, and I'll talk about that too at the end. But that's what we're going to, that's Webster's, it's an inordinate desire to, that it's not lawful for you to have, or that it's in a manner that is not lawful or biblical. Thou shalt, so in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, covetousness, which is idolatry. So he says here that covetousness is idolatry. You see that? Which is idolatry. Well, isn't that something? I've never thought about that before. I've seen that when I was reading in the book of Colossians today, and I've been thinking about covetousness and everything else, and it hit right there that he says that he says, which is idolatry. So he is saying that if you covet something in your heart, which is where coveting starts, we're going to go over that. That's where coveting really is. It always starts in the heart, and it is a heart's desire, lust. So, but he says here, which is idolatry. Which is idolatry? Think about it. All right. Colossians here deals with that. Now, Exodus chapter 18, verse number 21. I thought this verse is fitting that covers coveting and what he says about it here in verse number 21. Exodus chapter 18, verse number 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. Let rulers are not to be coveting. Amen. That's what they're not to have this coveting in their heart for something. You know, a pastor that covets or lusts after things will be a horrible pastor. Because as we will show you later on, they will compromise for money. They will compromise for stature. They will compromise to have what they want. Financially or anything else, something will have to be compromised in order. Truth will have to be compromised in order to fulfill that lust that is in the heart there. So the Bible deals with that. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 21. Again, the re-giving of the law, Deuteronomy, the re-giving of the law here. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that people have said about this verse, historically speaking, is that one of the things that God was dealing with them is, hey, if you've seen your neighbor's cow out in the field somewhere, and you had the opportunity when nobody was around to take that or to steal it, That's part of what God is saying. Don't do that. Just because it's out of His reach, just because you think you can get away with it, don't covet that. Just because it's not protected or covered underneath His home. God says, just because man is not watching, don't you do it. Thou shalt not covet. Don't do it just because you think it's within your reach to take. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 27, Jesus dealt with this. He said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So in this case, what he's saying to them is, what is that? That's coveting. That lust is still, that adultery, that lust is coveting. You haven't acted upon it yet, but to lust like that, to look like that, to want that, and to desire that is the first step in taking that. As we'll see with Achan here. In Joshua chapter 7, verse number 21. Joshua 7, verse number 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekel weight, then I coveted them. Right from his heart. See, he wanted that in his heart. And he coveted in his heart, and that was the first step. That was the first step. And took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. You know, lots of people died that day when he decided to do that. He ended up dying over his coveting. God has a judgment on coveting. That's why he told men not to do it, because people die when leadership covets like that. What do we have today? A bunch of outright greedy politicians in America. They are the most greediest, wicked, coveting people in this country. They are a bunch of wolves. And what are they doing? Coveting. Whatever their lustful, wicked heart wants, they will go after and take. They don't care. They don't look at that. Look at Harry Reid and this Bundy ranch and all these other things that are going on. And what does he want? He wants the rights, that water rights that goes to Atlanta. He wants to take that. They want the U.S. government wants to take that land. They want to take people's land. They want to buy up land all over the place, and they want to take it. Why? Coveting. The sin of coveting. That's all it is. It's wicked, rotten, disgusting greediness and covetousness. They don't need it. They don't need that land. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the people. But that's exactly what they want to do. That's exactly what their goal is. Psalms chapter 10, please. For the wicked boasteth, verse number 3, Psalms 10, verse 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. See that? For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Do you understand what that's saying? That God hates the heart that covets. He didn't like it. He hates it. God hates coveting. He hated it so much, that's why he instituted his law and said, don't covet your life like that. Don't live your life. We're going to get to money, which is the root of all evil, the love of money, the root of all evil. We'll get to that in a second. Psalms 119, verse number 36. David had a prayer in Psalm 119. Turn there if you would please. Psalm 119, verse number 36. David's prayer. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Do you see that? He said, God, please incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Don't let me be a coveter. Don't let me live my life. David had a problem with that, didn't he? What did David do? David saw Bathsheba. And what did he do? He coveted. He lusted in his heart after her. And what did he do? He took her. And he defiled her. What did it lead to? Death. What does coveting lead to? Death. Leads to death. Look at the examples in the scriptures of what coveting leads to. It leads to death. That's why God said, don't do it. Somebody's going to die. You get a greedy politician, what happens? Somebody's going to die. War is a racket. Amen. That's good. I'll amen that. That's real good. War is an absolute racket. That's exactly what it is. And you know what about war? What the thing is what is it about? Coveting rich men wanting to be richer. That's what it's about. And it's an absolute racket. And people die. Why? Because of one man's coveting or a group of men's coveting, men die. That's why. Young boys and girls and everybody are sent off to war. Children in foreign countries are murdered and slaughtered. Why? Coveting. It's all about money. You don't think war's about money? You're fooling yourself. You're absolute. Trace the money. Don't be a fool. It's about money. That's all it's about. It's about the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And that's what this whole world is based on. And that's why Jesus is going to come back someday, and he's going to trample it all under his feet and fix it all. Because that's all it's about now is money. Pride. Coveting. Satan, the same thing. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. Amen. Coveting. That's all it is. Bunch of coveting, just a bunch of lust of the heart. It's in their heart at it. Why? Because you're coveting something that's not yours. Amen. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. That's something. How about Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 16? He says, the prince, talking about leadership now, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Pretty simple principle, isn't it? Now turn to Isaiah. That's right. From whence come wars and fightings among you? That's right. They come upon for the lust of the flesh, from the lust, the war and the lust. Isaiah 57, verse number 15. I like this. This is good right here. I like this about God. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. You depressed? You down? Well, you be broken before God then. And you have a broken and contrite, humble spirit before God. And guess what God's going to do if you have that? What did he say here? I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He says, I'm there for them. I'm there for them. I like that principle Ray Comfort talks about all the time. It's right. I don't agree with everything Ray Comfort does. He needs a King James Bible. We better send him one, Brother Paul. But I'll tell you one thing he is right about. Law to the proud and grace to the humble. And that's such a true scriptural statement. Jesus did it all the way through. Paul did it. Law to the proud and grace to the humble. And that's God's way. That's the way God does things. You go on the street with us, and we are falsely accused by many people. Oh, well, you know, you just want to be mean. No, I don't. Why don't you look at all the videos that are put on there? Why don't you see the ones where I'm talking to a young man last week and a Muslim man, and we're not yelling at him. I mean, we don't yell at people. We preach, and then we talk to people. We talk. They yell at us. They almost all yell at us. But if they're humble and they're and they want to talk, then we talk. We want it. That's what we're there for. Amen. That's right. That's the way it works. to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Boy, that's a great promise from God right there. Do you see that? Do you see that? That no matter what you're going through life, or if you have hardened yourself against God, if you have gotten too proud against God, that you can humble yourself and come to Him with a broken and contrite heart. And He says, I will revive the heart of the contrite ones. But you know, if you're proud and boisterous, God isn't going to do that. He isn't anywhere near that. When you see a man that is, I don't mean preaching boldness, but when you see somebody that's arrogant against God and lifting up their self against God and fighting the preachers and fighting the men of God, you know what God, you know what happens there? God's not going to be with that man or that person. He goes on to say, for I will not contend forever. Neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid him and was wroth. And he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a brother, Brother Randy, online here last night. It was late and we were having a good discussion. Good Bible doctrine discussion. I love that brother, Brother Randy Hardinger. And you guys don't know him yet, but you'd like to meet him someday. Maybe we'll be. Hey, Brother Paul, we'll meet him on the road preaching somewhere. Maybe he's a street preacher and he's an elder in a local. Good man, and you know, we don't always agree on everything 100% or anything like that, but that's okay. He's still a brother in Christ. I believe that, and he walks orderly as far as I can tell. And I appreciate his ministry there and the fact that he's out there preaching. Because so many people are silent today. But you know, I was talking to him about, you know, different things in Scripture, how God says on one end something and then on the other He shows it. And if you don't follow Scripture all the way through, you'll get carried away in the one direction and you won't understand that. Like God talks about sending evil angels to them. Well, I mean, you know, and when you have those kind of what are seemingly paradoxes of some people on how that works, they're not really. They make sense. They're very clear. But God will give a man over to that. And just like He says here, He went on forwardly in the way of his heart, for iniquity of his covetousness was not wroth. So God said, hey, listen, if you're going to walk in your own covetousness, I'm going to let you walk there. And God will do that to a man. If you want to stay proudful so long, God will say, okay, I'll let you have your pride. You go ahead and have it. Amen. That's how God works sometimes. Why? To get through to you. And there are some people that stay deceived and blind. You know why? Because they won't accept light when it's given to them. And they reject it so long that God says, okay, fine, stay in darkness. Yep, if you don't want the light, then stay in darkness. And no more light is given to them. You know, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Jeremiah 6:13, please. This is good right here. It's covetousness. We're talking about covetousness here. A little rabbit trail there, but talking about covetousness here. Jeremiah 6:13, famous chapter of the Bible. It's our church's Bible verse here in verse number 16. But if we look at verse number 13, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Look at God is talking to Jeremiah, to the Old Testament prophets and preachers and priests, and he's saying they're all given over to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Every one of them dealeth falsely. Why? Why are they dealing falsely? Covetousness. What they were doing. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying for covetousness, they're preaching a different message. Does that at all sound familiar to you today? They are preaching a different message today. Why? Just like in Israel. Covetousness. Lust in the heart for money and wealth and notoriety and fame. They have healed also the hurt. He said, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What are they crying out today? The same thing. Peace, peace. There is no peace. There's no peace for the damned. There isn't. He said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Man, this is a good, this right here would be a good sermon to preach. this outline. Yep. Exactly. Oh, I'm telling you, man, it's powerful. He said they weren't ashamed. Thus saith the Lord. And then he calls his preachers. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. See that? We will not walk therein. What is God calling men today? Stand in the old paths. Go back to the old paths. Go back to the old paths. You're in the wrong road, friend. Get back in the narrow way, the old path. Wherein is the good way? Stand ye in the ways and see. Also, I said, listen what he says here. Why? Because of covetousness. This is all. Listen, the reason these men are preaching what they're preaching today is because of covetousness in the heart. That's the reason they're doing it. Over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not hearken. It reminds you of a rebellious child. You tell them to do something. Right, Mom? We will not. So what happens? Judgment is the coming. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 10. Look here again for covetousness. This is a most heinous sin that God hates. God listened in the end of the Bible, and when Paul is dealing with people, he lists it many times over. He says it's a work of the flesh. It's wicked. God hates it. God judges it. He says here, therefore will I give their wives unto others, Jeremiah 8:10, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Why? Because they're coveting. That's why. What are they coveting today in churches? Bodies, bucks, and buildings. That's what it's about. That's it. Bodies, bucks, and buildings. Got to have the money. Got to have the bodies in there. Got to keep this beast going. Can't let the... Oops, they're not supposed to call them beast. I did. But you got to keep this thing going. Got to keep this machine going. Can't have any problems with the machinery. It's got to keep working. Everything. Don't rock the boat. Don't make anybody upset. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 22, verse number 17. What's the motive? Covetousness. God said it was in Israel. He said that was the problem with the priests and the prophets. What do you think the problem is today? You think it's changed? No. Jeremiah 22, 17. But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Sounds about like America, doesn't it? Sounds about like a military-industrial complex, doesn't it? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed, folks. It's not new. It was going on then, and it's going on now. But for some reason, we think America has this above righteousness where we can talk about that we're not like. I mean, we're going to tell Russia, don't go invade that country and don't go over there and don't go do that. Well, they've only learned it from watching you. They probably know that if they don't, you're going to. if you don't, they're gonna. So he already knows it. The devils. I recognize that they're all playing a little New World Order game, and Satan is their father, and it's all going to come down to that one day, and it's all coming down to the grand finale. I know that. I don't think any of them are on anybody's side. I think they're all wicked. Jeremiah 51, verse number 13. Jeremiah 51, 13. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. Now, what's this verse talking about? Well, we don't have time to really get into it, but it's talking about Babylon. Babylon, Babylon. Talking about that dirty, rotten, filthy harlot, Rome. Yeah. Rome. The mother of all harlots. The abominations of all the earth. Sits on the seas of all the earth. Sits on them and dwells. He says, O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come and the measure of thy covetousness. What does Rome do what they do? Why do they do what they do? Money. That's why. They do it for money. That's the reason. I mean, they run around and talk about how Americans and other people need to give up more money. And I mean, he sits on $1 trillion or more. A few trillion. Right, and the fathers run around with dresses and everything else, exactly. Priests run around, you know, but if you look at it, God is saying that it's the sin of covetousness. That's all it's about. Satan's the same way. That's all it's about. He coveted. He wanted to be God. I want to be God. Eve, what did she do? Same thing. Lust in the heart, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. What is that? Coveting. Same thing as coveting. Something. Falls under the same guidelines of it. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 30. We'll be in a few verses here so you can turn there. Ezekiel 33, verse number 30. I like this here. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. With their mouth they show much love. God bless America. God bless America. The president gets up there, God bless America. God bless America. After he just told you how much he tells you how much he's gonna take everything away from you. How he signed a socialistic law. And then they say, God, and they put on their money, God bless America. Which God? Who? Which one? Which God? No. It says here, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Oh, just prophesy unto us. Just tell us what's going on. And they act like they love him, but they really don't. They hate him. They're not going to follow God. They're not going to do it. They're going to follow their own covetousness. They're going to follow their own heart and the lust of their heart. Micah chapter 2, verse number 2. And they covet, listen, this reminds you, this will remind you of the, of America today. And they covet fields and take them by violence and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Think about it. Right? They couldn't get a man out of a compound, so they started on fire and killed them all. Habakkuk 2:9, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. A woe pronounced to that man. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Jesus here is when it came unto him, and they had covetousness in their heart. And Jesus is going to deal with them, and he's going to deal with that sin of covetousness here. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? I love it. Don't you love the way he answered that? That's classic. It's a great answer. Come to him over money. What did he say? Hey, he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? What am I, a lawyer? What am I, your attorney? What's going on here? That's what I'm here for? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Why was he saying this? Because listen, your brothers, the last thing you ought to be fighting about is money, about your father's inheritance. Somebody loves money way too much if you two have to fight over it. What did Jesus do? He knew their hearts. He's seen that they had a heart of covetousness, and the evidence was shown there. You're actually coming, and there's a, you want me to speak. He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. You know, we need to understand that it's not what we own or everything that we have that makes us who we are. No. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. It's not where it is. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, turn there. He talks about covetousness again. The principles here. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. You see this? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. No. That's why a preacher can never be money motivated. After I got saved, and before I was saved, I was very money motivated. I made good money in sales, traveled around, won a lot of money, did everything. I was very motivated to make money. After I got saved, and God called me to preach, I lost it. It was gone. I didn't have that motivation anymore. I wasn't motivated by money any longer. It was just, it was taken away from me. And my brother was like, you know, why don't you want to, you know, build this business and make this money and do this and do that? because it's not in me anymore. It's that was the old man. That man died. And then God saved my soul, and He changed me, and He gave me a calling, and He said, no more are you going to be money motivated. I'll take care of your needs. I'll supply everything that you need, and then some. But don't you think that I'll have you be money motivated anymore. That's gone. I've taken that out of your heart. It's no longer there. And it isn't. It's gone. I don't have it anymore. It's just not there. When I was waiting for the ministry and serving the Lord and waiting to pastor, I kind of wish I had that still. But I didn't. I didn't have it anymore. And it was just, and people would ask me, you know, why don't you do that? I mean, you got to understand, these guys saw me make a lot of money. They saw me push a lot of products. They saw me be able to hire and train people and run businesses and everything else like that. And they saw all of it. And they're like, why can't you do that anymore? I can't. Because God was showing me that I don't want you to do that. Because when you get into the ministry and you pastor a church, if you're money motivated, it'll destroy you. You won't speak my words. You'll be like those prophets. You'll be like those dumb dogs that don't bark. You'll be like those ones that are covetous, and you will, and you won't preach unapologetically and boldly. You will be taken by that, and you will be taken by money and the desire for money and the desire to be big and famous and have all those other things. You'll be taken by that. So I'll just take that out of your heart so that desire's gone. And nobody understood. I couldn't explain it. My family member, they couldn't understand why they would ask all that. Why don't you have that? I was like, it's gone. I don't. It's gone. It's not there anymore. And it'll never come back, I'm sure. Because I intend by the grace of God to do this until I'm dead. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Even you in your life, as you have to work and make money and take care of your family, those are just a means to glorify God. You know, you might say, well, I'm an electrician, or I'm a roofer, or I'm this. No, I'm a man that does this, but I'm a servant of God. That's the difference. I'm a preacher of righteousness. What was Noah? Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but he built an ark and he dealt. Yeah, but Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. Noah was an evangelist. You as a preacher, Brother Paul, you're an evangelist to go out and preach the gospel. And yeah, you might be an electrician, you might do that work, but you're a servant of God. Just like every man is a minister of God, every member even of a church is a minister after a fashion that God has placed them in, the order which God has placed them in. Whether it's a lady, there's an order, there's a proper order in the home for her, but she's still a servant of God. Just as much as you are. And probably a better example of a servant than we are in many ways. But you cannot serve God and mammon. And there are too many Christians today that are split and want to do both. They have no time for God. All they have time for is money. All they have time for is prestige and to get to that next level and to be famous and to be rich and to be well off and to be this and to be that. That's all they have time for. But they don't have time for God. Why? Because they're trying to serve two masters. What is the result of that? Why does that happen? Because of coveting in the heart. A covetous heart. I've got to have everything. I've got to be everything. I've got to do everything. Listen, you can serve God and have a lot of nice things. You can serve God and I mean, we live in a country where we're very blessed. Amen. And we can have a lot of things. But the problem in America today is that things have people. Not people having things. The things that I have are tools for the Lord. This iPad, a tool for the Lord. That Mac computer back there, a tool for the Lord. These are being used to serve God. Do you understand that? They're being used to serve God. truck down the highway somewhere with a bunch of crazy preachers in it, and we're going to go preach all over the place. That's what it's for. I don't want it if it's not for any of those things. I don't need it if it's not for any of those things. That's what it's for. Not so a man can heap stuff unto himself and brag what he has. Right. But today we have covetousness. That's what we have in the heart of these men of God even, of preachers, and of members. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean, you got to have the big fancy building. The preacher's got to have the big fancy building. He's got to have the you should see some of these buildings. They're ridiculous. They make Catholics blush, okay? Some of these Baptists today in their buildings would make a Catholic blush. All right, I know the Catholics have that architecture, their buildings are so big and ridiculous today, and what they're doing with these and what they've turned them into and everything like that is an idol. Covetousness is idolatry. Which is idolatry, he said. And that's exactly what's going on today. We think we got to have these big buildings and everything else. Payrolls and employees and everything else. That isn't even biblical in the first place. Show me his staff in the Bible. Ridiculous. I'm mad with that statement. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, look what he says here. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things and they derided him. What happened? Well, they weren't very happy. What'd they find out? Well, Jesus preached against their covetousness. You can't serve God and mammon both. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What was he saying? Oh, all the riches, all the money, all the buying of your wealth, or your power and your influence, and your long robes and your fanciness and everything else is an abomination to God. No church needs millions and millions of dollars worth of property. They need to plant churches. Now, some do. Some do have millions of property just for the sake of where they live. And everything's expensive. I get it. I understand that. And I know some of them plant churches. But some of these people out there today are just building 5,000 member auditoriums in Baptist churches. Really? I mean, how does a pastor get to know 5,000 people? Right. Maybe that's the point. Maybe he doesn't want to know them. How do you get to know 5,000 people? And they have all these meetings that they travel around to and brag about how to get to the next level and how they got these big numbers and everything else. You say, oh, you're just mad because you don't have a big church. I don't want a church like that. Because I'd be sending 100 people that way, 100 people that way, 100 people that way, and 100 people that way. And they'd be starting churches. That's what they'd be doing. Why? Because then their pastor would actually know them. Ridiculous. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. He says here in verse number, we can go back actually to, let's see, verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let us be therewith content. But they which will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. There's two things that will destroy, there's more than that, but there's two main things that will destroy a man's ministry, money and women. Amen. If he doesn't have a wife that supports him, or if he has women that are around, or if he doesn't put up safety nets and do the things that he's supposed to do like that, he can get himself in a lot of trouble. If you have the order, if you have it ordered right, it'll be different. For the love of money, he says here, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Really, you want to be rich? Why don't you want to glorify God? And all these things shall be added unto you. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, there it is, isn't it? Why is that love of money the root of all evil? Because it's coveting. Coveting is covetousness. That's true, it is. It is. I had somebody leave this church one time. They said that it was for, because I was a sexist or whatever, because I didn't let women speak in church. You know, like if they ask a question, they can ask at home type thing. And she asked me if I believe that. And I said, yes, I believe that. I mean, in the context of which it is given in an open assembly when somebody's preaching, you know, hey, can I ask a question? I mean, that's not biblical. I mean, the Bible says that they should learn at home. Ask their husband. You know, anyway, but the point was interrupting and everything. But they asked me if I believe that women should not teach men. And obviously, yes, I believe that. No, women shouldn't teach men like that. That's not what God wants. You know, let the women be silent in church, not permitted them to speak. The Bible talks about that. Anyway, the point that was funny is that wasn't the reason at all. Because later on, I found out that the person had a major problem with gambling, and they were convicted and didn't tell the truth about it, that that's what their problem was. And they had to use that. Because even if I did believe it, why would you be mad about it? Because the Apostle Paul said it, it's right in the Word. So you're mad at God because he wrote it? It's not my fault. I didn't write it. Don't blame me for it. I didn't write it. But no, what was it? The love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's really the sin of gambling, is the love of money. The covetous and the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You cannot serve God and mammon. The love of money, the root of all evil. What is it? Covetousness. What does he say here? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after. Why? Why? Their lust in their heart, their love for it. Acts chapter 20, verse number 33. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul was saying, if I used my hand, he said, I used my hands. I didn't seek after your gold and silver. When Paul was in different places, sometimes he worked to cover everything. So there was different times where he kind of made some mistakes. But in this case, he says, hey, I'm not after your gold or silver. I wasn't after your money. I was here to preach the Bible to you. Because see, they would be scandalously reported of, and Paul would be lied about and say, well, you just want money. You're just money hungry. Well, Paul, I mean, he took care of himself, and he lived a pauper's life for the most part. I mean, he didn't live a good life like that as far as a wealthy one. All right, Romans chapter 1, verse number 29 deals with this covetousness. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. So what is he saying about this? He's listing it in there with these awful works of the flesh in the end times that God gives them over to reprobate mind for. And one of those things is coveting. One of those things is that love of money, which is the root of all evil. You want to know why there's so much war? Love of money. You want to know why there's child trafficking all over the country? Love of money. Romans chapter 7, verse number 7. Good definition here. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Coveting. The law says for me not to lust, because that's coveting. 1 Corinthians 5:10. Paul thought it very important to tell the church at Corinth this. As he's going through his discipline chapter, and he's dealing with discipline here, which is what 1 Corinthians chapter 5 deals with. What does he say here? He says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. He is telling them not to accompany themselves with fornicators, with idolaters, and with covetous people. You know how many churches they are full of people that have nothing but love money? Now, there are rich people that don't love money, okay? There are people that live for the glory of God, and God has blessed them with wealth. And the Bible gives them a warning not to be high-minded, but to trust in the Lord. But that doesn't mean every rich person is a bad person or is covetous. But in this case, today, we have a lot of people that will put money over truth any day, and that is a covetous man. If they are willing to put money over the truth that they learn in God's Word, if they are willing to violate the Scriptures for money, then they are a covetous person. And Paul says they're not even supposed to be members of your church. Amen. How many pastors do you know would want to deal or will deal with that? When the rich man comes in and wants to push his weight around and push his money around and use it. How many of them won't deal with it, but they'll just pacify the rich man so he's happy and the rich uses his money to push around. What God says, if they don't want to get right with God, he goes, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, but then you need to go out of the world. It's interesting, isn't it? But now I've written to you not to keep company. If any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat. But what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. God says if they're extortioners, if they're crooks, right? If they're revilers, if they're drunkards, they won't repent. They got to leave until they repent. The Scriptures say. 1 Corinthians 6:10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Whew. Pretty heavy, isn't it? See, there's a difference. A lot of people don't understand that. What if a Christian sins then? That's not talking about a Christian. It's talking about a lost man right there. It's not talking about a Christian that... Right. It's not talking about a Christian there. It's talking about a lost man. He is judged in his sin. Still upon him. Because he's lost. Because he's lost. But a man, if he fails God and he sins and he takes a drink or he, God forbid, does something worse than that, that doesn't mean that he is an adulterer. No, he's a man that sinned. He's a Christian that sinned, that has to get right with God before the judgment of God comes upon him and either takes him home or much heavy chastisement comes in this life. That's the difference. It's not saying that if you commit a sin, you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what he's saying here. Therefore, I thought it necessary, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. So he's saying we don't covet or love your money. We need it to help others. So it's what we're using it for. Ephesians 5, verse number 3, but fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. For neither at any, and then 1 Thessalonians 2:5. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Why? What's he saying? We didn't use flattering words and try to cover things up for you so we could make money. We didn't have a cloak of covetousness on us. We didn't have that cloak on of covetousness so we could. So, well, listen, Joel Osteen, if you want the truth, then you'll hear it. That's the difference. But we can't flatter ourselves. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Be covetous men, lovers of their own selves. What do we have today? Covetous, wicked men. Hebrews 13, verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. What a promise, huh? What a grand promise. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. What is he saying here? He's saying they're covetous people, and they're going to make merchandise of the people of God. They merchandise the sheep, and they make money off them. That's what you have in your mega churches today. That's what you have in televangelists today. They are making merchandise of people. Why? Because of covetous heart. You see how some of those guys live? I had a gentleman tell me one time, I was at a suit store and I was buying a suit coat. And he told me one time, he said, well, Jesus was rich. I don't know why these people always say Jesus was poor. What are you talking about? Jesus was rich. He wasn't rich. He said, yeah. He said when he was born, he had gold and frankincense and myrrh and all that stuff given to him. Man, he was loaded. I was like, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And this guy is preaching to me a prosperity gospel. Because that's what the black preachers told him down at the church in Minneapolis or St. Paul. They told him, hey, Jesus was rich. God don't want you to be poor. God wants you to be rich. What a joke. Sad. Peter says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and a heart they have exercised with covetous practices. He says they've exercised their heart, just like those prosperity preachers, exercised their heart with covetous practices. Cursed children. Now, there is another coveting that's in the Bible, that covet good things, the desire, that means to desire or wish for with eagerness, to desire earnestly to obtain or possess in a good sense. That you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 31. The Apostle Paul exhorted the Corinthians, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent. You covet good things. Go after those good things, those gifts of the Spirit, those blessings, those gifts that God has, and exercise those gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, he says. I don't have time to explain that today, but the one thing that he is dealing with here, he says to covet prophesying. Now he's kind of using ironic language here. You know what I mean? As he's already really dealt with them a lot, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, obviously, we understand the language which he's using. He's kind of using a play here, but he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. So he's saying they should seek after those gifts. They should seek after prophesying. That's what they should seek after. You know. But anyway, he explains that a little bit there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when he deals, that's first in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 31. He says here, go back to verse number 29. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So, I mean, you know, there's some, we ought to want things from the Lord. I don't mean things like, we ought to want power from God. We ought to want things from God. We ought to want the gifts from God, amen? I don't mean money. I don't mean lustful. That doesn't mean lusting after in a sinful way. Amen? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen? He's going to show him a more excellent way. Then he gets into that. Love is the excellent way. Amen? Charity is the excellent way that he shows them. That's what they should have. And when somebody says, it's kind of like the same thing as somebody says, I covet your prayers. You know, I pray that I hope that you'd pray for me. You know? You know, they're important. So there's a good way that can be used too as well. But it's not for the motive of lusting after something that is wrong. That the difference is in coveting used in that sense, it's an inordinate effect. It's wrong. It's unlawful. It's not unlawful for me to pray to God and ask God's blessing. It's not unlawful for me to ask God to give me the power to exercise these gifts, or God to give me the knowledge or give me the wisdom. You know, it's not wrong to do that. Amen. It's not wrong to do that, but it's wrong to have these inordinate affections and these desires to have everything else at any cost. And that's really what it is. It's the love of money, the root of all evil. And they've erred from the faith. And that's really what we have today, isn't it? Why is it the way it is today? Why are we seeing preachers waffle today on so many things? Why are they too scared to deal with it? Coveting. They don't want to lose the prestige. They don't want to lose the level that they're at. They don't want to lose everything. That's where it is. Their hearts are full of coveting, and it's caused destruction. And God says that the end thereof is what? Death. What's happening? Churches are dying on the vine. There's no power anymore. Why? Because they don't speak God's words anymore. Amen. They quit speaking. They quit preaching God's words. So beware of covetousness, like the Bible says. Amen. Beware of the love of money, the root of all evil. Beware of that. Beware of the love of money, the root of all evil. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And, Lord, your words are true. And, Lord, help us to embrace them and live by them. Lord, help us not to have hearts that covet after this world. James talked about the war in your members, and you have not. You lust and have not. And, Lord, the wicked lust of the heart, the coveting of the heart. Help us not to do that, Lord. Help us not to simply live our lives to get more, to have more, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Help us understand that. Help us to believe it. Thank you for your truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.